The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
What is up, y'all? Peter Burns here for hour number four. Put your fours up here at the Paul Feinbaum Show. You can hit me up on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. You can give us a phone call and yell at me there. 855-242-PAUL is that number. We're going to be joined by Kevin Clark in about 15 minutes. He wrote a fantastic article about name, image, and likeness and recruiting and really how kind of the old guard is turning into the new guard. He'll join us in about 15 minutes to talk about that. But until then, your phone calls. Talk about whatever you want. I asked you guys, hey, if you went to Vegas and you had to take three SEC coaches, who would you take? Right, with the NFL drafting in Vegas, we could talk about that. We could talk about Mark Emmert stepping away from the game in 2023. What I will not take a phone call on is this topic. Greg Sankey's not taking that job. We've had a bunch of these calls going, is Sankey going to leave the SEC? I cannot see that happening. In fact, he told Nicole Albrecht and also Heather Dinich earlier today, no, he's pretty busy at the job that he has. No sense in Greg Sankey taking a demotion and becoming the NCAA president. I don't know how good of a job that is, frankly. Right? All of these things are changing right now. I'm not quite sure who's going to want to step into that role to be the president of the NCAA. Now, the bar is set low. You're going to get paid a bunch of money, okay? But what is that going to look like? I don't know. Does it dissolve in 2 years? I'm not quite sure. I mean, my theory is that's the reason why Mark Emmert is leaving now, because he's not quite sure the NCAA is going to look and be whole that way when 2025, when his contract was over. So my theory was that Emmert stepping away because he doesn't want to be the guy manning the ship whenever it truly 100% goes down. And I think every single day we get closer and closer to that, right? All of the rules and regulations the NCAA used to have, well, now they don't want a part of it, and they're not enforcing those rules. Look at name, image, and likeness. Look at the recruitment and kind of pay for play that's going on right now. They're getting all of these rules and laws kind of just shoved down to the states and to the conferences themselves, and they're going to be the ones who decide, and therefore that is where the new power is structured at. Handsome Joe, thanks for joining us here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. What's up, Handsome Joe?
Roll, die, roll, Peter Burns.
you sound like my wife, but a different octave in the voice. What's up, man?
Hey, it's good to see you on the show today, Ryan. You know, Paul's just missing out. He's going to Las Vegas to, you know, what he's going to do, he's going to go out there and gamble and come back broke, and then he's going to have to work three jobs. He's going to do his little show here, and then he's going to have to sweep floors and stuff like that. But anyway, Peter, hey, it is good to see you, brother. Hey, I still remember the day I met you at SEC Media Days, and hey, that was one of the highlights of my life.
Man, Joe,
I would like to
appreciate that, Joe.
But I would like to say this as well. Was it Will in Louisiana that called a while ago and said he wished Bama fans would hush?
Yes, that was him.
Well, I got news for this little pathetic life loser. He's a dang dipstick, liquor, and Alabama fans ain't going nowhere forever. We're going to be around the rest of his life, rest of my life. Win or lose, we're going to be around. You know, and so he's going to have to hear us. And I do want to say this about Matt San Antonio. You know, he made this little prediction that they're going to go 11-1 and beat Bama and Auburn. They're not going to beat Alabama and Auburn. I mean, Bama's going to curb stomp them by at least 50. And Matt San Antonio needs to go eat a little bowl of cereal, Fruit Loop cereal, and leave sports to real men. But, hey, I want to say if I could bring three coaches with me to Vegas, it would be Nick Saban, Nate Oates, and Bama's softball coach.
Patrick Murphy. P. Murph is my guy, Absolutely.
Patrick Murphy. I think he would be a lot of fun to hang out with. But, hey, to be honest, I'd rather go out there with you, Peter Burns.
Hey, Handsome Joe, I'm in. We'll go play Keno. We'll go have some fun. Kick it like Luxor Excalibur days way back in the day. I appreciate it. I will say this. One of the things, I was in Alabama over the weekend. I was in Tuscaloosa for a great event they had for Alabama football. And I was there with Roman Harper, and it was fantastic. And we're walking through, and he's like, let me show you T-Town. And I've been to T-Town for a game and been out there to cover some stuff with Saban, some other things. But we're walking down the bookstore, and we hop in because I saw this, and it was this Montana Fouts jersey. And I'm thinking, how cool is that, right? We've never seen that, right? We've never seen in name, image, and likeness. This is a softball player, and it's not Bryce Young's jersey. It's not, you know, Will Anderson's jersey. It's Montana Fouts. So we go in, and Roman's like, man, I want to cop one of these. I want to get one of these jerseys. And the lady behind the front desk says, well, we're sold out in small and mediums. She goes, they're so popular. And in fact, the whole store had a Montana Fouts collection. And I was like, man, this is what name, image, and likeness is about. You know, everybody's complaining, oh, it's recruits are going here, recruits are going there. Recruits have always gone because of money. You just didn't know about it. There's been bag man since, I mean, my goodness, 100 years, right? You go back and look at the history. Go watching Saturdays in the South, right? And we're talking about some of these stories about players, you know, going to places where, hey, listen, the recruiting wasn't necessarily on the up and up. So I look at all these stories about those are the 3% bad headlines, but it's the Montana Fouts and her having a collection and how cool is that? And the lady behind the front counter said, you know, this is part of all of the name, image, likeness. And we asked, all right, well, so how does it work? And they're like, well, Montana and the Montana Fouts collection, when you buy a jersey for the softball player, she donates it to a charity that helps kids who don't have an opportunity, don't have a whole lot of money, play the sport. I'm like, I got goosebumps. I'm like, this is what it's about, right? So anybody that complains about name, image, and likeness needs an absolute check. There's going to be some things that fall in the crack, but things have always fallen in the crack. But the opportunity, you know, to make a couple of dollars off playing when people are watching, hell yeah, I'm all for it. And I'd be a hypocrite if I came out here. I provide for my family by talking about college athletes, by working games that involve college athletes. And for me to come here and say, no, they shouldn't get any money, I ain't ever going to do that. But I would like the NCAA or whoever's going to handle it going forward to actually have rules and to enforce those rules. So I do understand when coaches say, hey, listen, I don't like this. It's not that they don't like name, image, and likeness or the transfer portal. They just don't like the fact that they don't know what the rules are and no one's enforcing them. 855-242-PAUL is the number. Let's go to Tim in Alabama. What's up, Tim?
Hey, Peter.
Hey, Tim. I'm doing great, man. How you doing?
Oh, love you when you're on this show. But I want to say, can we change the rules on the three people you would take on a plane?
All right, yeah. I asked the kind of the fun question in the offseason. If you were going to Vegas with Feinbaum, what three coaches you want? How do you want to change the rules, Tim?
I just want to say two players and then one coach.
I like it.
I would like to take Cornelius Bennett with me, Robert Horry, and then Coach Nick Saban. And then if we could replace you with Paul, you could go too.
Oh, okay. I'm in. Why? Give me the background about Robert Horry, just because of the legend he was, or any background on that?
Oh, because it was the best basketball player at Alabama ever. And, you know, all the championships he won, I just, you know, he's one of my favorite players. And then Cornelius Bennett was the best player on defense ever in Alabama.
All right, you know what, Tim, you'd have a pretty good Vegas list. And I remember, and I'm a huge Robert Horry fan. I lived in San Antonio, and I believe it was, I want to say 2005, but Horry, late in his career, hit a big-time shot and had actually a big-time dunk, almost took off from the free-throw line. We didn't even know his knees could do that. And so for me, Big Shot Bob was always one of my favorite players growing up as well. Let's take a phone call. Jay is in Mobile. What's up, Jay?
What's going on, buddy?
How you doing, bud?
I love your show, the show you and Chris do.
I appreciate that. SEC This Morning. Yeah, we do it live every single morning on SiriusXM, and then we do it, obviously, on television during football season.
Anyway, I love your show. I love the way y'all do your debacle, whatever you want to call it. Anyway, I want to call out Larry and JK. They're idiots. Everybody's tired of hearing their crap.
Jay, I you know, hear what I appreciate there at the end was just a pregnant pause where you just let it hang there for a minute. You just said you're sick of them, and we hung up. All right, so we're going to talk name, image, and likeness, what it means for recruiting coming up next. How dirty is it, really? Has anything changed? Talk to that guy next. Kevin Clark, Ringer, next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Welcome back, Paul Feinbaum Show. Peter Burns sitting in for Mr. Paul Feinbaum. Hit me up on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. You can give us a call, 855-242-PAUL is that number. We'll take some of those calls. I see Dan, Rocky, Steve, and Elise, Joseph, Mrs. Burns, and I don't think that's my wife on the call. But we're talking about college football's free market. Welcome to it. That might actually be the reaction that Nick Saban has, that staff photo right there. The headline comes from The Ringer, and it's by one of my guys that I love following on Twitter. He's great doing Slow News Day, does a lot of stuff for The Ringer NFL. But this article, Kevin Clark joining us right now, I thought was fantastic, talking about name, image, and likeness in recruiting. And so many people have this bad boogeyman about it. But how much different do you think NIL is making the quote-unquote recruitment game in college football? Huge difference or not that much at all?
I don't think it's a huge difference at all. It's accelerating a trend that we've already seen, which is the rich get richer, the poor get poorer. You know, there was a quote the other day that said, okay, there's a $300,000 payment on signing day that went and flipped a kid on signing day. Well, that was already happening, Pete, for 50 years before signing day. So I think that there's going to be a lot less changes than we think. I mean, if you show me a team that's not ready to compete in the NIL era, I'll show you a team that wasn't ready to compete in modern college football. So I think that, you know, you look at the facilities arm race, the coaching arm race, the NIL arm race is just an extension of this. And so I don't think it's going to be all that much different, Speed.
So, Kevin, do you think that we'll get to a point where kind of the old guard, right, the guys, the stewards of the game, the Nick Sabans of the world go, you know what, if it comes down to paying recruits this way, I'm out. Do you think it'll force coaches out of the game? Like kind of a little bit to what we've seen over in the college basketball world, Jay Wright's out, Coach K's out, Roy Williams out over in the ACC.
I think that there's a couple of concerns long term. I think that there are guys like Nick Saban who love it. One of the things that Nick said when he left the NFL, Pete, was he wanted to control his own destiny. He didn't like the idea that Drew Brees could fail a medical and all of a sudden his entire career as an NFL coach is basically over. And so Nick Saban wants that control at the college level, and he's not going to go to the NFL. Mario Cristobal is not going to go to the NFL. Brian Kelly is not going to go to the NFL at this point. Lincoln Riley, these guys like to be in the college game, so they're going to stay. I think long-term, the bigger issue, and I've heard this from NFL people, and maybe it's just NFL people just sort of speculating, but what happens in 10 years if the money isn't what it was and it's already a hard game with the transfer portal and the recruiting. Maybe a top guy does want to go to the NFL because the money simply isn't there because it's going to the NIL. Boosters cannot fund athletic departments in 15 years like they can now if 90% of that money is going to the athletes. And so that's something I've heard long term. But again, I don't think that that's much of a concern. I think that players being paid is a net win for the sport. It's going to save the sport. It's going to keep the sport legal, frankly, when you look at some Supreme Court decisions. So I don't think that this is much of a concern because some guys are just wired for college football and we know who those guys are.
Yeah, Kevin, do you think that there will be programs that might take full advantage of this and get back into that upper tier? You know, I think of USC being one of them. I mean, you could say Florida State, even Nebraska, who that has an unbelievable fan base. Do you think that they could do enough with this to where all of a sudden the playing field is level with recruits?
Possibly. They'd have to do a lot. There'd have to be one billionaire or two billionaires to fund the entire thing. I don't think it's going to end up like European soccer where there's a couple owners who say, you know what, we're going to buy the best rosters in the world overnight. I think it's going to take years. I think you're looking more at the teams that already had that sort of tradition. USC, Miami is in the mix there. I think Nebraska, that's a good point. Some of these Midwestern guys, some of these Texas kids, maybe they get back to Lincoln like they did 20 years ago. There's a possibility there. But I just think it's more of the same of what we seen. I mean, I think that Texas A&M, even though Jimbo denied using NIL, they obviously have a huge fan base. They've got a system set up where, you know, the whole thing is you get set for life. You know, if you are an Aggie, that was something that was happening years before NIL. And so I think you're going to see a lot of the teams that dominated the last 25 years dominate the next 25 years. I think Lincoln Riley being a good coach and you know, developing Heisman Trophy candidates at USC is not much of a surprise. That's not NIL. That's just Lincoln Riley doing business as he knows. So I think there's the possibility that some of these huge fan-based schools excel going forward, but I think it's going to be a lot of the schools we've already seen. 60% over the past 5 years of five stars have gone to these same five schools. The only way forward for some of these other teams is organizing and competing with NIL right now, and that starts like yesterday.
With that being said, Kevin, how much of expanding the college football playoff helps this situation? If it only truly is those four getting in, I mean, I'm baffled every single day that all of a sudden the Pac-12, the ACC, the Big Ten says, well, you know what, we just don't want more opportunities to get our teams in. You're from the outside looking in on this world. What do you make of that?
I think there's a couple of things. I think that you can – one thing someone was saying to me this morning, actually, they were saying, you know, it's the same four teams that get in all the time, and that's why they can recruit off of it, and then it becomes a feedback loop, a self-fulfilling prophecy. I don't think that's the case, actually, Pete, because I think you look at LSU. They've only made the playoff once. Georgia, this was their second time in there. It's not like you can recruit off of these playoff appearances every single time. So I think that there's a lot of unanswered questions about how an expansion would work, but I do think that the Big Ten, the ACC, certainly, if they can get a non-Clemson team in there regularly, I think that you can start that kind of momentum, but I think that the expansion cannot disguise and solve the fact that the best players want to go to the same place over and over and over again. Ohio State, Clemson, LSU, Georgia, Alabama. There needs to be something to break into that, and NIL is literally the only path forward for that.
Yeah, we were talking about that. Transfer portal, of course, is a big thing as well, too. Mark Emmert had just announced, hey, he's out at 2023. Who wants that job, or who would take that job right now? Kevin, you laugh because I'm frankly, I don't know. I feel like they almost have to promote from within because I'm not quite sure who wants to be kind of the whipping boy at that point.
Would you take that job right now?
I mean, for $3 million, I'll take pretty much any job. But yes, I mean, kind of close to it, but I don't know what that number is or who wants to put their legacy up for a job that may dissolve away within 15 months.
Yeah, unwinding it is honestly, when you think about the structure of it, is one of the big things they're going to have to do. Maybe someone like Oliver Luck, who's worked in a lot of college conference offices. He's worked for the NCAA. I think he was the number two there under Emmert a couple of years ago, and obviously has a lot of experience. Maybe it's someone like that. But right now, the conference commissioners are going to have all the power. They're going to reform basically everything. You saw those reports earlier today. So I think it's going to be a lot of change. I think the next NCAA head, there can be a lot of good done, frankly, with facilitating how things are done. I don't think you can really do anything as far as NIL and the transfer portal, as far as kind of putting the toothpaste back in the tube, so to speak. I think that's done. But I think there can be some facilitation here where everyone figures out a path forward for the future of the sport. You know, the women's basketball tournament needs to be broken up from the men's basketball tournament so they can get more revenue. There's a handful of things that can be positive and done in the short term. But I honestly think that giving college football teams more power, letting them legislate themselves, that's the path forward. And that's the only way the next person can have any success, is understanding the limits of the NCAA. It's not coming back like it was, so understand where it's going.
Yeah, it just understand, right. Like, you're no longer able to smoke cigarettes on airplanes. Well, guess what? That we're not going back to that life, and we're probably not going back to the NIL transfer portal days pre-COVID related. Kevin Clark joining us right now, and then, you know, you do some great stuff with Slow News Day, and then, you know, you write a lot for NFL World, and of course, we're on the precipice of a really intriguing draft. What storyline, specifically maybe from the SEC, are you the most intrigued about coming up over the next two nights?
That's a great question. I'm intrigued to see how the league values this Georgia defense, because I think, Peter, in 10 years, we're going to be looking, you know, those quote cards on Twitter where they say, I can't believe all of these guys were in one place.
Right.
I think you're going to see some of that with Georgia, you know, in 10 years. And I think there could be a bunch of first round picks. I mean, people have said N'Kobe Dean is sliding down those boards. I hope not, because he can play. And so I think you're going to see that. I think the respect, the type of athleticism that Georgia had and that Kirby Smart put together is really incredible. And I think what's interesting is that, you know, there was a tweet last year from Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network, and he said, man, the 2022 draft, everybody's really valuing those guys. And of course, it comes around and people don't really like this draft. The NFL is not excited about it. So you're going to get a lot of high ceiling athleticism guys who go off in the first round. Who better right now than Georgia? Who's more pro ready, by the way, than some of these Alabama guys? Evan Neal would be a great example of that. Somebody coming off the board early. So the SEC is still the tiebreaker. If a guy's SEC versus ACC or some of these other conferences, the NFL is still going to value that. So I think in a weird draft, I default SEC because they're going to be the most pro ready. They're going to be the most athletic. We know how this works now. When you look at the recruiting patterns, the playoff games, I mean, there is such a huge separation that I think this is going to be a pretty typical draft, which means pretty typical SEC domination.
I'm glad you said it, because if I said it, it'll be quote unquote media bias. But for the fact that you haven't said it,
I went to Miami. I went to Miami, and I have an inferiority complex with the ACC. It's SEC all day. I talk to NFL scouts constantly. I get it.
With that being said, though, all right, I think everything changes in the world. And for the longest time, we've kind of gone through this, hey, it's SEC versus ACC, Big Ten and whatnot. Yeah. Do you think we're going to get closer with this transformation policy to where we almost see kind of a football federation, to where there's, you know, 30 to 50 teams in a bunch of different conferences that all get together in some point and say, you know what, Florida State, you want to play by these rules? Boom, you're going to play these teams. Clemson the same way, whereas maybe Cal Berkeley may not say, listen, we're not going to fund our program that same way.
It's a great question. So over the weekend, Jack Swarbrick gave an interview. He's the AD at Notre Dame. He gave an interview, and he said that he thinks there's going to be a breakup. And Paul Feinbaum obviously echoed these statements a couple days ago on the radio. He thinks there's going to be a breakup around 2035 of basically the teams that want to license out the name and say, we're the University of Alabama football team, but maybe there's no other affiliation. Maybe the school president doesn't have much to do with it. And then the schools that want to be part of the educational structure, smaller schools. Maybe that's Wake Forest. Maybe that's Vanderbilt, as an example. I think that the big schools, USC, you know, Miami, Florida State, I think they're going to go with the big boys. Most SEC schools will go with the quote-unquote big boys in this scenario. And a lot of the schools that want to be academic-oriented will not. I think that's the most likely split. I think you also saw what Swarbrick said, was that some of these TV deals are so unfair to certain conferences. I mean, unfair being a loaded term. Obviously, the SEC and the Big Ten are the most popular conferences. They deserve the most money. But I think that if you're a team like Miami right now, and you're going to end up getting, what, $40, $50 million less per year in the TV deal, and you can't get out of that until, what, 2034, you're going to start to say, how can we disrupt this system? If you're Clemson right now, you have the same questions. USC's got the same questions. You want those big TV contracts, and the only way that can happen is if you join forces with Alabama and Georgia and Michigan and Ohio State. And I think we're going to see more of a trend towards that over the next decade. Don't be surprised if there's a Super League-esque concept thrown out in the next couple of years, at least talked about, and maybe happens down the line.
I mean, again, listen, it all could come to fruition when you're talking about the college football playoff expansion in 2025, what that looks like. And then, of course, the Big Ten media deal will be off, and they'll already have that done. Going to be interesting times. Just real quick, I give you the private jet to go to Vegas for the draft on the weekend. You can only take one SEC coach to Vegas. Who you're rolling with?
Wow. Saban commands the most respect. Lane will be a different weekend. Lane will be a very, very different weekend.
Fair.
I'm going, I just can't pass up a weekend partying with Saban. I'm sorry. I can't do it. I can't do it. That is a weekend. What you're getting in every club, you get into every restaurant, people are forwarding you cash. That's it.
I do feel, though, Saban's the kind of guy that you're going to go out to a really nice steak dinner. He's going to walk you inside of the club where you're going to get all VIP access, and he's going to look and says, all right, guys, everything's taken care of. I'm headed to bed. And then that way, you know, there's no more witnesses for what happens that night. Hey, my man, we got to roll.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. I do like it. Kevin, thanks for the time, man. We'll talk to you soon, all right? There it is. A great interview with Kevin Clark on Name, Image, and Likeness. More of your phone calls coming up next. We'll react to that interview. Peter Burns in for Paul Feinbaum.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Welcome back to the Paul Feinbaum Show. Peter Burns sitting in for Mr. Paul Feinbaum. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. Back to the phone lines we go. Elise is in Alabama. Welcome into the Paul Feinbaum Show. What's up?
Hey there, Peter Burns. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
Great. Well, I called in because I was driving home from work, and I was listening on how you're raising your children, and I found it sad that you are singing your kids' LSU lullabies as they go to bed. And your wife, I mean, she needs to know this. This is a frightening thing.
Well, hold on, Elise, you don't need to be bring that up. My wife is not actually watching the show because she's sick and always tired of hearing me to begin with. So I don't need I don't need her knowing that I try to propagandize my children. Because listen, she wakes up and she handles the kids in the morning because I have my radio show on Sirius XM. So I'm always in charge of bedtime. So I figure I've got the recruiting edge because late at night I'm able to actually play all of the little LSU fight songs and actually all of the and read her all of the books, you know, going right before she goes to bed.
So she works all day and you get the edge. I get it. But my first thought was, as an Alabama fan, of course, my God, I should call DHR. Like, how can he do this? Why are you laughing? I almost ran off the road driving up from work because I'm laughing, of course, at myself. I said, like, this is a DHR situation. His wife needs to know.
Listen.
Well, no, she might know if she's listening over the baby monitor.
I never thought about that. She might think that I'm not that sharp. Okay.
See, I'm good. I'm helping you out.
No, yeah, I'm going to turn the monitor off now anytime that I'm putting the kids to bed.
See, there you go. So I helped out an LSU guy, which was not... Gosh, that was just so not my purpose in calling.
Look at that. Elise, well, anyway, you see, bringing people together. What else you got, Elise?
Well, I also would like to answer at the beginning of the show, you had said, didn't you say three people that you'd want to take to Vegas?
Correct, yes.
Okay, so my three that popped in my head, which is just going to sound crazy, of course, was Saban. And then I thought about it, and I thought, okay, well, Brian Kelly. And then I thought, wait a minute, Mike Leach. I mean, how fun would Mike Leach be in Vegas? I mean, I just want to put a body cam on that guy. He's hysterical, and you never know what he's going to do. So think about being in Vegas with Mike Leach.
So, Elise, thank you for the phone call, and thank you for the parenting tip. I do appreciate that. Leach in Vegas is going to go one of two different ways, and I'm excited about both of them, right? It's going to be memorable either way. Either going to have the greatest time, or you'll probably be at, like, Area 54, right? In the middle of the night, like in a desert, like Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, and Mike Leach will have these incredible stories about the history of it. So I have no idea. All I know is that probably a night out with Mike Leach in Las Vegas will end up somewhere in like The Hangover, where there will be a tiger somewhere in a tub, right? I think that would be pretty damn cool. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. Joseph is in Tupelo. What's up, Joseph?
Oh, what's going on, Peter Burns?
Oh, man, just having fun, you know? I mean, Paul's vacationing in Vegas before he does his show live there for the next 2 days, so I just thought we'd have a little fun today.
Oh, yeah, that's right on. Hey, I hear that. Also, it's like, my goodness, yesterday, I guess, man, I only listened, but Mr. Paul said that he was surprised we had an airport here in Tupelo. My goodness, we have planes that fly out to Nashville every single day and everywhere else. But besides that point, I was going to say, wait, you're talking about the coaches. I've got a little list here I started thinking about, like what I would take to Vegas if I was going to Vegas. And it shouldn't be Handsome Joe. It should be the most Handsome Joseph. But besides that, I was thinking, you know, we'll just go back a couple years, and why not take, Coach Beamer, Coach Leach, and Lane Kiffin this year, but then we go back and take Coach Freeze and Dan Mullen and Coach O. That would be a trip right there. I mean, you take all those six coaches together. I mean, who knows what happens? If you have Coach Freeze, I mean, he better have a burn phone because he used the wrong one. The last time you had all kinds of fun, right?
You know what? I will say this, though. With that crew, you'd play a whole lot of hella good golf, though, too. So that'd be kind of up on my list there, Joseph. Some interesting trio that you would take. I would probably read that book after the trip as well, too.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.